On air. Online. On Twitter.
Jennifer Campbell is always on.
Unfiltered, opinionated, and ready to speak her mind at a moment's notice.
This is the Jennifer Campbell Show on 570 News and Rogers TV, Cable 20.
Now, special guest host, Jeff Pickle.
No, there ain't nothing that I gotta prove. You think your words will make me black and blue, but I think I'm pretty with these old boots on. I think it's funny when I drink too much.
Good morning. Welcome to the Jennifer Campbell Show. What a beautiful Friday morning we have here. TGIF, am I right? TGIF. Finally Friday. Finally Friday. We're here. We made it. Glad you could make it along with us today. Thanks so much if you're listening on 570 News or if you're tuning in on Rogers TV. Good morning to you. It's been quite a week. I'm just happy to fill in here for Jennifer as she finishes up her European vacation in London. Vacation for her, so very cool. She'll be back on Monday, right back here to host the Jennifer Campbell Show. What a coincidence. Jennifer Campbell back to host the show bearing her name, but I'm glad to be with you for just another 55 minutes or so. But it's an action-packed 55 minutes. A little bit later on in the day, possibly one of my favorite topics to talk about, and that is the zipper method. Referring, of course, to the method practiced while driving and merging into lanes. I was able to host the Mike Farwell Show, I think, 2 weeks ago or a week or so ago. And on my rant or rave, we got into the zipper method, and people both for and against it. We're going to be talking with Tristan Hopper, a reporter with National Post. He did a great little video on why we should all be adopting the zipper method. I've been teasing it all week. I've been kind of saying we're going to get to it, but I didn't want to get into it when we were running late on anything because, you know, I really wanted to sink my teeth into it with a real good interview and some time to share. We're also going to be talking about this bizarre incident with an Amazon Echo, you know, one of those when you ask Alexa to take over your life. The Amazon Echo sent a family's private conversation to another user. They didn't want it to. It did it all on its own. That's a weird one. That's concerning to a lot of people. We're going to be talking about that. But off the top here, we're going to be talking about another issue that has gets a lot of people's blood boiling. In Ontario, we pay the highest car insurance rates in any country. It's an issue that has upset enough of us here that it's become an election issue, with the parties promising to do something about it. Now, one insurance provider, CAA, is trying to do something to lower rates for low-mileage drivers. The system works by giving drivers a plug-in device that tracks mileage through an app. It gives a warning every 1,000 kilometers, and if you're able to keep it under 9,000 kilometers for the year, you get a break. The idea is supported by some, but others are pointing out some potential flaws in that system. Joining me this morning to chat a little bit more about this idea is Rob Deutschman, a personal injury lawyer with Deutschman Law. Rob, thanks so much for joining me this morning.
Hey, Jeff, good to be here. Listen, first of all, before we get into it, I just want to say the zipper method for driving is the best way to do it. But the problem is, and you'll get into this, how drivers get upset when guys go passing by them thinking they're trying to cut in. But anyway, the zipper method for car safety is the best way to do it, and it moves traffic the best.
It's so true.
People just have to calm down.
And that's the thing. You just have to, you know, us as Canadians, we're so worried about being polite. You don't want to be the person who's, you know, looking like a jerk blowing by everyone in the one lane. But that's what I keep repeating. You're being bold. You're showing leadership. you're taking that burden on with the possibility of looking like you're rude, and you're illuminating a path for others. But
the problem is the road rage from other people, and I've seen this where guys will pull over into the middle of the two lanes and not let anybody by.
Yeah. No, I hear you. Anyway, I've seen it all before. So hopefully I'll bring up this conversation and we'll convert a few people, and little by little, each grain to sand, and we'll get things pointed the right way. But on to the topic here. So we're talking about this. It's a tracking system, so they can keep tracking. If you are a low mileage driver, you get cut a little break on your insurance rates, which certainly sounds like it makes sense to a lot of people. Let's start with just getting into why this is kind of an avenue that's being looked at by insurance companies. What is it about this? Why are they looking at this as a potential answer?
Jeff, this is a Trojan horse. Okay. Trojan horse. Listen, let's go back for a second. CAA press release. When someone has to add in their press release, hey, we're the most trusted brand in Canada, it's like somebody starting out the conversation by saying, trust me on this one. You don't trust the insurers on this one, okay? And the reason is this. They're talking about tracking your miles, but they're also going to track the distance and the time it took you to get to places. They're going to be tracking your speed. They're going to be tracking all sorts of data. And what's going to happen with that data that they're collecting on that nice little device they're going to implant in your car? That information will be used against you if you have an accident. There are serious issues here with respect to the information that you're providing, the privacy issues that you're providing with respect to that tracking device.
So that works by simply, like you say, they're tracking it. You're in a collision, and when it comes up to the claim, they can go, uh-oh, no, wait, we've got this information, and bring that up?
Absolutely. Look, it's nice if they're saying, hey, we're trying to provide some opportunities for people to cut their insurance rates. But even let's go back further. They're the main cause of the increase in insurance rates in Ontario, okay? It's almost like a two-handed situation here. They've cut benefits significantly in Ontario. They've influenced the government to cut benefits for people significantly, and rates have gone up. Remember the 15% reduction that the premier was supposed to bring in? It was supposed to be a stretch goal, and all the insurers bought in and said, yeah, we're going to help you with this. So the government reduced benefits significantly, and at best, we have a 7 to 8% reduction in our rates, maybe. So now they're saying, hey, here's a new program. Look, for you guys that are low drivers, seniors, I mean, seniors are low risk anyway. You're driving to church, that's about it. You know those cars you buy that are like 2013 and they say, oh, only driven to church on weekends?
Yeah.
I mean, all right, those people are low risk already, so there's nothing to this. I think the bigger issue and the bigger concern is the fact that they're going to have access to your information. And I tell you, Jeff, on a day-to-day basis, I'm dealing with insurance companies all the time, and I'm dealing with people that are hurt in accidents. And insurance companies use surveillance like you use, I don't know what, but they're surveilling people. They're checking your Facebook accounts. They're checking your social media. They're looking into every aspect of your life to try and find a way to not pay a claim.
What?
And this is going to be another avenue for that.
Well, maybe you can get a little bit into that, seeing as you have, that's something you deal with. How do these companies try to, as you said, surveil you, through social media? What's something that people can kind of get hung up on if
easily? Look at how many times you're on social media and you might want to say, yeah, a beautiful sunny day today, like you just said today.
Yep.
T-I-F-F. And I'm glad you clarified the F.
Yes.
So somebody posts that and they're saying, oh, look, you had a really good feeling. You're feeling great that day. Now you're telling me you're feeling bad and depressed. Look at all these positive things you're putting out there. Sometimes people want to get on with their lives. And part of getting on with your lives is trying to extend into your social network to make sure that, it's a way of trying to get back by extending your social network, your social reach. And then it's used against you later on in court because it presents a picture of you that's different than how you actually are. Social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, any of those things, plus let alone just basic good old surveillance where they, let's say you want to pop to the gym because you're feeling bad that you've gained 50 pounds since you had your accident. Next thing you know, you've got a video of you on a treadmill or on a bike, and that's used against you. down the line. It's just not a good situation for people.
So when these releases come out, these stories come out, and it sounds like the insurance company is trying to lend you a way to save some money, you're saying don't buy it. Don't buy it for a second. They're not looking to really help you in any meaningful way.
I say don't buy it. And here's the other thing. How many times do you, let's say you're at some place for Wi-Fi, and up comes the thing, you agree to whatever the terms and conditions are. You don't read those terms and conditions. If you're getting one of these devices from this insurer and you're putting it in your car, what are the terms and conditions with respect to the information that they're gathering? No one reads that stuff, Jeff. No one reads the fine print. They just say, I agree, and off you go. And within that fine print, there's no doubt an opportunity for them to use that information as they see fit and even possibly share that information.
So is there ways, I mean, the ways without directly tracking, what are some other ways that, you know, if you were to make a grand recommendation for our insurance companies to be able for us to lower those rates, I mean, it does on the surface, like you said, if you're not maybe involved in understanding how these works, this seems like not a bad idea. Obviously, your opinion differs. What's the best way we can, you know, without being constantly surveilled to kind of, you know, be able to prove to insurance companies that we are, you know, safer drivers in, you know, this kind of real time way?
Well, the insurance companies should have done what they promised to do years ago, which was reduce the rates. They keep blaming everybody else for the cost of insurance in Ontario. Look at the recent situation where a guy who runs a garage in the GTA somewhere had Aviva or one of the insurance companies go in there and plant cameras into his shop, according to him, to check and see how he's doing. He's a 30-year garage operator, and suddenly I guess he's feeling like he's being accused of being a cheat. The insurance companies don't have clean hands in all of this. When you take a look at things like insurance medical evaluations, where people are sent to doctors to evaluate whether a treatment plan that is recommended by their treatment provider is good or bad, and a doctor says, well, I wrote a report, and the report that actually got used is not the one that I submitted originally to the company that is processing this report for the insurance company. There are stories like that out there. The insurance companies could show good faith by truly reducing their rates without bringing in these schemes that they're trying to bring to people to say, hey, look, here's another way that we can save you money. But at the same time, there's the issue of the information they're gathering. And I see this as another opportunity for them to gather information to try and control the process and try to identify who they think is cheating and who they say is not cheating. And it's not as bad as the insurance companies like to tell us it is.
No, absolutely. You raised some very good points, as I mentioned, and like you said, it might look to be a good way if you are. First of all, it's keeping your kilometers under 9,000 a year. So I don't particularly know too many people who can do that. But I suppose in some of the bigger cities where transit's a little bit more of an option, you can do that.
Sure, but the low risk riders. But two things, Jeff. One, read the fine print if you're going to do one of those things. And the other thing is optional benefits. I haven't talked about that, but if you're going to buy insurance, talk to your broker about optional benefits to make sure you get the adequate coverage you need. That's where you can really benefit, and speak to the brokers. Insurance companies aren't doing a good enough job with respect to that either.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, Rob, thanks so much for taking the time to join me. We ran ourselves right out of time, but I do appreciate you lending a little bit of time to chat about this issue this morning. So thanks for that.
Hey, and Jeff, you got to get your own theme song, eh?
Yeah, I know. I know America's Sweetheart doesn't quite suit me, but you know what? It's the show branding.
It
is still
it's a great song.
I like it. I really do enjoy it. It just you're right. It doesn't represent me, but it represents the show. And
yes,
it still holds the name, the Jennifer Campbell Show, even when she's not here. So
it's a kick-ass show.
Oh, thanks, Rob. Thanks so much for tuning in and for coming on. I do appreciate it. All right, that was Rob Deutschman, personal injury lawyer there, chatting a little bit about what he thinks is a bit of a scheme when it comes to your car insurance and whether one of these tracking devices is a good idea. We're going to move on. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to move on to the next topic. And it's something I got to a little bit about yesterday, but I know the phones were ringing and we didn't get a chance to talk about it. It's that the issue with the NFL taking a stand on whether or not you can stand for the national anthem and what's going on there. So certainly if you do have an opinion about the position the NFL and certainly some of the NFL players have taken on this, I'd love to hear from you. 519-570-2545. We'll take a quick break. We'll get your calls right after this.
Your 2018 Ontario election updates and analysis happen here.
570 News and at 570news.com.
All right, we are back with the Jennifer Campbell Show. Thanks so much for Rob Deutschman for joining me there for a little chat about car insurance, something that certainly gets the blood boiling. So we're talking about the decision made by the NFL to not allow players to kneel for the anthem that's been done over the last season and two. A protesting kneel during the anthem, causing a lot of controversy, certainly last season. Those fires stoked by President Trump, and even more recently stoked by the president saying that players should stand for the anthem, and not only should they not be allowed to play, but they should not, they should be leaving the country. So certainly some inflammatory remarks there. But I'm curious what you have to say about this topic. And the phone lines are open, 519-570-2545. Curtis is on the line. Curtis, what are your thoughts?
It's rich white people not caring about black feelings, not caring about the racism that is going on in the States. And they really don't care as long as these black people make them their money. They just want to appease everybody else. The only people who really are complaining about the protest are white people. You don't really see black people because they understand a lot of black people are being killed every day by police. Lots of racist things have been happening, and that's why these people are protesting. Like, who protests just because they want to? They just want to protest for no reason.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's great points. And I mean, the idea that, you know, it being such a peaceful way to protest and, you know, a civil way to protest, no one's getting hurt. There's not, you know, danger to anyone. It's a simple gesture done. And it's by not being allowed. That's, you know, certainly one thing I heard was that, you know, seeing someone kneel during an anthem could be seen as disrespectful. But here's a quote that I'm reading out right now. That's what's even more disrespectful than the act of kneeling is the decision to punish those who kneel. That's probably the most, you know, un-American and un-Canadian. You have a protest happening and saying, you know, that can't happen, so we're not going to allow you to do that. That's a restriction of freedoms, if there is one at all.
Well, you ever notice how in America that they make a big deal over everything else? Women's rights, abortion, whatever liberal, until it comes to black people and the way black people are being treated. And then when you say, okay, this is happening, I've experienced this, they come and say, well, no, there's no racism. Oh, racism doesn't exist. But then you have a whole group of people saying that it does, and this is what's happened to us, and this is our experiences. Oh, no. Racism doesn't exist. No. You black people, you're just saying all this stuff, but look at crime against yourselves. Oh, well, you guys shoot yourselves. So then that makes then, and again, white people shoot themselves too, and other people also. But when that makes it right, then that the cops are just killing black people for no reason, like walking down the street, trying to pull out a wallet to show ID that they asked for. Laws in the States, they like, you are allowed to carry a gun, saying that, oh, well, you know, I have a gun, here it is, bang, you're dead. Yeah. They don't care if your kids are in the car. They don't care if your kids are watching. They beat up old black women. It doesn't matter. They have no mercy, and they are murdering people. And that's the problem. That's why these people are protesting.
Yeah, no, absolutely, Curtis, and thanks for calling. Obviously, you brought up some of those big, huge underlying issues for the reason for the protest itself. Which, if you look at, you know, the impetus for the protest, the reason why people are protesting, and the fact that the protest itself and the manner it's done is usually getting more attention than you know what's being protested. It's being overshadowed, and there's a whole bunch of, you know, issues that are very clearly, you know, in my and Curtis's opinion are quite wrong. And, you know, I'm excited to see what happens in this season, because I want to see what teams do. You know, I want to see the reaction, and, you know, I'm hopeful that the reaction will be defiant against the league and against the president, and, you know, use their ability to peacefully protest what certainly is a massive issue. So I am excited for the season. I'm hopeful, and, you know, I want to see, you know, some positive come out of this, you know, in the face of this adversity for sure. Okay. We do have to take a break for the news, and then we'll be back. And as mentioned off the top of the show, we'll be on the Zipper Method right after this.
Put the smart in your smartphone. Download the 570 News app and stay informed. 570 News.
All right, we are back with the one and only Jennifer Campbell Show. Jeff Pickle here filling in. Happy to be here with you if you're tuning in on 570 News or watching right there on Rogers Cable 20. Regardless of the method, happy I can be here with you, chatting about the day's topics on this lovely Friday. We rolled over pay-as-you-go insurance rolls out in Ontario. Certainly something that personal injury lawyer Rob Deutschman was not a fan of. It's going to track your car, and it's going to track everything you do. And when you do get in that collision, they're going to use that against you. It's certainly the general idea of what Rob's saying. So be careful. And that's only for extremely low mileage drivers, under 9,000 kilometers a year. So, no one I know, well, I don't know that, but not many people I know would certainly fall under that category of under 9,000 kilometers a year. Also, we had a little conversation there. Thank you for Curtis for joining in on that ongoing debate that will be ongoing for some time about the NFL and their decision to ban kneeling before the national anthem or during the national anthem. Players either need to stand up straight, look patriotic, or stay in the locker room, but not be on TV and kneeling before those games. So certainly I think there's going to be some fireworks. I'm really hopeful there will be. I think there'll be, I hope there'll be a lot of defiance involved in that. But now for the topic I've been waiting all week to get to. One of the few things I'm truly passionate about, and that is the Zipper Method. While driving, Canadians are stubborn and refuse to merge late, and they think it's dangerous and anarchic and amazingly something you just can't do. When we see a merge laning from two lanes into one, and we think, let's get over right away as early as we can so we're in that lane that's going to go right through. But the science proves that what you need to do is, if you're in that merge lane, is to hold firm, be strong, nerves of steel, and to rock on straight up until the end of that. We're waiting on a talk with Tristan Hopper. He's a reporter with the National Post. But Tristan also made a little video about this topic, and I think we're just trying to get Tristan on the line now. But yeah, maybe let's roll with that. That we can do the longer audio clip. It's a 2-minute clip. We'll maybe just hear that. We're working on some stuff. Me and Polly are working on some stuff. Getting Tristan potentially on the line here. We'll let you know when that's all queued up and ready to go. But maybe I'll tease a little bit. Yeah, okay, we're ready to go. Let's let that video rock then. Here's Tristan Hopper from the National Post talking about the zipper method.
Hello, Canada. When you're driving along the highway and you see construction barriers and a merge lane like this, don't merge early. Just keep driving until the lane runs out. No? You'd rather merge early in defiance of science, efficiency, and all human potential? Fine. But first, let me show you something. This is one side of a 4-lane highway. But look, there's construction up ahead. What do? If you're the average Canadian, you jam your car into the left lane as soon as humanly possible. You would think this makes sense. Merging early isn't going to make the bottleneck any bigger, so why not get into single file? First, it opens the way for who want to zip ahead and cut into line. Second, it can gum up traffic further on down the highway. Third, it's unsafe. All this anarchic jamming into one lane causes crashes all the time. Fourth, it's slower. This one is hard to believe, but when you force a bunch of cars to basically come to a stop in one lane, it gets everyone through the bottleneck slower. So what do you do instead? The zipper merge. No early merge. Instead, you stay right the hell in your own lane until the last moment, and then cars take turns entering the bottleneck one for one, like a zipper.
All right, there. That was the voice of one Tristan Hopper, a reporter with the National Post. A great video talking about one of the most overlooked and underappreciated things you can do that we can all do collectively. This is a collective effort we need to buy into to make all of our lives a little easier. Tristan, thanks so much for joining me this morning.
Oh, anytime. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. So I love the video, and I'll retweet it out again. I did when it initially was posted, and I loved it and tweeted it. We'll do it again just so anyone listening now can follow along. But essentially, you're laying out the principles of why this, as I said, very underappreciated and overlooked method of travel makes everyone's life a little bit easier. We all get to where we're going a little bit quicker. Why is it that the zipper method is met with such staunch opposition?
I think there's good reasons behind it. I mean, we're a polite society. We're a line-waiting in society. So those are all good things. But this is just one of the few instances in which that actually doesn't make anything better. So if you're fleeing a burning building, by all means, queue up. Don't just crowd the exits. But, in this particular case, I think we do it because we think we're being polite, and I think that's an admirable thing. Like, you know, in Italy and Israel, they don't have to remind people to zipper merge because everybody drives like maniacs, and they're always trying to cut to the front of the line anyway.
Yeah, no, and that's exactly it. And off the top of the show, I brought that up, you know, exactly that, you know, it's seen as being rude, and you hear the honks and the glares, and sometimes people will take even, you know, aggressive action, because if you're in our society, in our, you know, wonderfully polite society, if you're viewed as being rude, that's about as worst, you know, sin as you can commit. So cars will take aggressive action to prevent you from doing that and like pull out in front of you or block the middle of the lane. But you're absolutely right. So I say it's bold leadership. It's bold leadership if you are, you know, willing to dare those glares and those horns and, you know, stick in that merge lane and pass those cars.
Well, under my system, under which you always use the full extent of the lane, so what you're using is, like, road space is a resource. You're just using the full amount of that available resource. But anyway, if you just stay in the lane until it ends and then zipper merge, then those BMW-driving douchebags who we all hate cutting to the front of the line using the empty lane, they can't do that because, of course, the lane is full. So if we all just zipper merged, we would avoid the frustration of seeing someone cutting in line.
No, and absolutely. But the way it stacks up a lot of time, and like no pun intended there, is you're either, you know, in that lane that's the merge lane, and you feel the pressure to get over to not be rude, or you're in that, you know, the lane that's going through, say the left lane in this case. I'm advocating to even go one step beyond and pass those cars to show the better way, to light the way, to illuminate the path towards a better way. But again, that's highly frowned upon. I had some callers when I talked about this last week. Yes, this topic comes up quite often for me, who were saying exactly what you were saying, is that, like, no, that's absolutely wrong. You're butting.
Those callers are wrong. But I guess one of the complicated things about the zipper merge is that it's one of those things where everybody has to sign on at the same time. Otherwise, yeah, you are technically butting. But if everyone else was behind you, if you could become a Moses of the road and everyone else was just behind your vehicle as the zipper merged, then it would make more sense. But that's probably unlikely to happen. So in my experience of looking at this topic, the best way to fix this is just signage.
Signage.
So Canadians, we're sheep when we're behind the wheel. There's nothing wrong with that. I found if drivers are given permission, so if there's a sign saying, hey, zipper merge up ahead, drive to the end of the lane, and then zipper merge with the lane next to you, if the sign like that with directions on how to do it is put up at construction sites, people will follow the sign. So I think the solution, at least for the short term, before it can be just be ingrained in our DNA like Germans or Austrians, is to just put up permission signs. Like, a good example is in Vancouver, as you enter the Lions Gate Bridge, there's two lanes of traffic that have to merge into one to cross the bridge, and there's a sign saying, don't merge early, just keep going into the lane and then zipper merge one for one, and people will follow it. So I think, this just has to be like all of the other construction signage you see on a regular basis, you know, men at work, bumpy roads, slow down, and zipper merge. Don't merge early.
Yeah, absolutely. And you lay out in that great video again, you lay out some of the other, you know, potential downfalls of, other than just us getting to where we're going quicker, there's some safety concerns also with, you know, not using the zipper method.
Oh, yeah, like merging early, if you just see a lane ending and you panic and say, oh, I got to get over to the lane as soon as possible. That's this anarchy of just sort of cramming into one lane before you should. That ends up with a lot of fender benders and crashes. So, I mean, it's not serious. I don't think there's a graveyard of zipper merge, a non-zipper merge victim somewhere. But I do believe the research does support the fact that this is more likely to result in crashes. And not to mention, I think the overarching thing here is that it's slower.
Yeah. And that really is the main thing. And we have this little stretch of road that, you know, being an AM news station and doing traffic reports, about a million a day. Highway 8 East, approaching the 401. It's been under construction for, I think, the majority of my lifetime, it seems to be. And it does exactly that. It goes from 2 to 1 lane just before getting on the 401. And it's to a point where it's almost not even worth mentioning when we do traffic, because if you've been through this area at all, you just know that Highway 8 East approaching the 401 is going to be slow. And it just drives me nuts, because when I do drive that, it's part of the reason is simply because not using that, as you said, I love that term, road space as a resource. And I mean, I'm not sure if there's a question at the end of this other than just thank you for kind of illuminating this again. I felt like I was a lone warrior, but then I saw your piece, and I thank you for also taking this brave charge into some uncharted waters.
It's also more equitable. That's the thing. We talk about how we don't like people cutting to the front of the line. The zipper merge is, you know, your space in the road is sort of kept, and you merge one for one with the person in front of you versus, favoring whoever is able to merge latest. So, you know, we're an equitable society. I think we're doing this for the right reasons. But again, it's bad in every single possible way. There's no benefits to not zipper merging.
Yeah, I like that idea. And it would be a good, like, reflection of society that we can adopt change, we can break old habits, and we can do something that is more equitable, more efficient, more fair. I think it would be like a good social experiment if we could, you know, through some legislation, through some signs, really pull this off. It would be a great kind of study piece to see our evolution as a society. I hope I'm not going too big picture, but I really think this would be like a little microcosm of us as a community, as a country.
Yeah, maybe this first, and then, I don't know, world peace or something next.
Exactly. Road signs to world peace.
Cut our teeth on this.
Lead us there. We got to start small, Tristan. I thank you again for creating that video, for joining me this morning, and for illuminating the way once again. So, thanks for coming on.
Anytime. Thank you.
Okay, perfect. That was Tristan Hopper, a reporter with National Post. A very lively, entertaining discussion. And I think, I don't think I'm too bold to say that if we can achieve this in my lifetime, then we are showing the progress that society needs to conquer those things like world peace. I don't think that's out of the question. You know, we need to show that we can change as individuals and as a society, collective change. And there is no better way, there's no, less divisive way than just to simply talk about traffic. We're all for getting where we want to go quicker. There's no controversy about it. You just have to look at the science, let science, show us the path forward. Let's get some road signs out there and let's just start being the change we want to see in the world. And let's start with the zipper method. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, will be more The Jennifer Campbell Show.
Take flight with Canada's team.
I want to fly.
Follow the Toronto Blue Jays through all 162.
That's way out of here.
Every walk-off hit, every game-saving catch, every heart-pounding strikeout. 570 News, your home for Toronto Blue Jays baseball.
All right, welcome back to the Jennifer Campbell Show. A spirited, lively conversation there with Tristan Hopper of the National Post, talking a little zipper method. If you do want to chat with me, I know when Rob was on earlier this morning, just the mere mention of the zipper method, he tweeted back at us at Pickle Press and at the Jennifer Campbell Show about the zipper method. If you do want to chat zipper method, we can do that. We can do that now. I want to hear your thoughts. Have I convinced you? Have I turned you over that this is something as a society we need? 519-570-2545. You can give me a call. But for now, I'm going to leave that. I think I made my opinions made pretty clear. We might move on. Depending what we get here as far as callers go, we could move on. But I am always excited to talk a little zipper method. Okay, we do have a call. That is accurate. Dan, are you here to talk zipper method?
Well, I agree that it's the right way to do it, and I agree with the signage. But first thing they're going to have to teach is the police, because how many times have you drove? I drove tractor trailer coast to coast for years and years and years.
Right.
And how often have you seen people go roaring by on that right-hand lane to get in front and cut off? That happens because people don't do the zipper method. So what happens? You'll see two trucks. And they'll go side by side in each lane to stop people from roaring up that right-hand lane.
Right.
This would generate the zipper method. When they get to the end, they merge together. Now you have everybody all prepped for the zipper method.
Yeah.
What happens? Some hero with a blue or whatever color uniform and lights on his car comes along and he wicks that truck driver for impeding the usual mood of traffic, improper lane change, whatever.
Right.
So maybe the first people they better teach is law enforcement. And yes, signage, because it certainly is the way to go.
Yeah, and I can imagine that, certainly as a trucker, first of all, just being on a deadline and getting where you need to go, frustrating for you to be kind of stuck back sitting in line. Obviously, your ability to merge is a lot more difficult than a car, which, makes it, if people just assume you're trying to kind of butt down that right lane, it's just being a jerk and not letting you in. Also, the risk of you getting cut off. I mean, for you to apply the brakes and to slow down to allow that to happen is a lot more than if you're, driving any other vehicle.
Yeah, your BMW heroes, your other people were saying.
Yeah.
but that is the line. And then, If you don't use a zipper method, those people are roaring up in the right-hand side, and then they cut in, and on a big truck, they're right in your blind spot just before they do it.
Right.
That's the other issue. And another issue is they'll pick on trucks to do it too, which makes the trucks continually jam its brakes on. Of course, then acceleration slower with a heavy commercial vehicle because a truck likes to leave a little bit more distance. So he's certainly a target that BMW hero, you call him, is going to try and beat and cut in front of. But I think signage and education, and I know my stepdaughter just went through driver school, and it was never talked about.
Yeah. No, that's a good, if you're going to do it in any part, that's obviously a good place to do it, is right there in driver's training. Thanks so much for the call, Dan. You raised some good points. I'm glad we could hear it from a person who drives for a living, you know, that it's tough. And that's a good, little learning point as well, a little teaching point as well. You know, I had uncles who drove truck as well, and I know it's a difficult job, and especially, you know, they do take a little longer to get up to speed, so that gap created between the cars can cause, you know, a little bit of a gap there for you to slide over. But just think, as long as it takes them to get things rolling, you know, it kind of also takes them that much time to slow down. So Dan, thanks so much for the call. Paulie, how we doing in there, buddy? You've been paying attention, you've been listening. I've been talking about the zipper method for a little while. Have I won you over? Are you on Team Zipper?
I'd have to do some more research into it. I always thought people who waited to go to the end of the line and then scoot in were just jerks.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? That's the way it turns out a lot of the time, because it is a thing we have to collectively do. You know, if it's just one person on their own, they're a jerk. But if we all start to do it, if a few cars follow, we're creating a better system.
I think it's going to be difficult to get everybody in society converted over to this.
I agree.
That's going to be like a huge task.
I agree. That's why it's a good little social experiment for us to go through. But the part was that, hey, let's get it involved in with driver's training. Let's get some signs on there so people, you know, you talk to a lot of people, they maybe have kind of casually, loosely heard about the zipper. They don't know about it. Make it a thing. You know, we've done more roundabout trainings. That's something that's certainly involved in driver's training. And let's hope that the overall ability to navigate roundabouts improves over the next couple of years. Let's get this involved in some teaching. Teach them while they're young, and there will be, it will pay dividends in the long run.
Has there been like actual experiments done in this? You know, you get 200 cars together and you try different ways of merging, and has this actually been tested?
Well, I do believe that Tristan Hopper did point out some experiments showing, and I know there is a lot of traffic studies done. I mean, all the time. It's one of the biggest businesses going, like Milevision right in town. They do a lot of, how to get through city streets quicker. So I certainly would believe that there's been a lot of studies done that show, you know, this gets things through quicker. And I'm one for following science.
All right. I'll have to watch Tristan's video again and really pay attention.
Yeah, you are a guy who you're not one just to take advice or to take, you know, something you hear. You're a guy who puts some dedicated study to it, which is great.
That's
which
right.
We need more people to do, not just blindly follow. All right. We're pretty much run out of time here. What a great week it's been. Hey, I've had a heck of a time joining you for the last 4 days here on the Jennifer Campbell Show. As mentioned, Jennifer will be back. I'm not sure what day she arrives back in Canada, but I know she'll be here Monday morning, and she will be back at the helm of her own show. In that case, when playing America's Sweetheart, that will make a little more sense. It'll be a little more fitting to hear Jennifer's voice follow that song rather than mine. But either way, I've had a great time doing it. We got the Mike Farwell. I almost always flub that and say the Mark Farwell Show. It's just the A's and that. Like, I know what his name is. I know he's Mike Farwell, but I get a little excited when I come on here. I think my speaking speeds up a bit. The Mike Farwell Show will be coming up next, but of course it will be Glenn Peltier sitting right here in this chair for what I can only assume is going to be a very entertaining 4 hours. Yes, 4 hours of Glenn Peltier. It'll be a very entertaining 4 hours for you guys. Thanks so much for tuning in. We're going to go to a break. We're going to go to the news. And then it's Glenn Peltier right after this.